Development. The South Dakota model comes to mind. They say that their cities can only put 10% of total assessed valuation under redevelopment, no more than 10%, and they limit it for 15 years, and they don't allow the agency to redirect the school share of the property tax. That's a model, okay? There are other states that allow longer periods, but also don't allow the redirection of school revenues. There are other states that allow redirection of other local agencies' revenues, but only upon their consent. They would have to get the consent of the counties or the consent of the schools. So there's a variety of different models. You could place a limit on aggregate amount of assessed valuation under redevelopment. You could limit the period. You could require that the overlapping local agencies consent to the proposal. So there's a variety of ways that you could. Most of those proposals, though, would affect future redevelopment projects. So if you were to change the law going forward, it's very difficult to make modifications to a variety of existing redevelopment projects because they've been set up under a set of laws that were in place when they were created.
Thank you. Mr. Nielsen, followed by Mr. Huff.
The governor's proposal, at the least, has caused some focus on an area that I think is been out of control for some time, and I'm glad that it has.
Been out of control?
I would say out of control. Eminent domain, very loose definition of designations of blight, and this is a time to, I think, say whoa, if not get rid of the redevelopment agencies, at least to say whoa. And is it not in order to try to restrain some of that vast accumulation of these increments? That seems like an awful lot of money that we're squiring away, and further then to redirect some of that to local government. Shouldn't that be a part of our, if we're going to examine and change this, a couple of those two elements?
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, the administration has proposed it, and we generally have felt like it merits your consideration. Mm-hmm. I think the one issue on the school funding, I just want to come back to, though, if I could, Assemblyman, Senator Emerson raised it. We would strongly urge you just to have the dollars flow through in their current arrangement back to schools, not be an add-on to Prop 98. The administration has suggested, well, this will help them as they work back their maintenance factor. You know, we could get back to where schools have a lot more funding within a short number of years if we have a spike in revenues or whatever. This supplement would be on top of that, and you would, in effect, be taking money away from the non-school part of your budget. Health and social services, criminal justice, higher education. So if you do the governor's proposal, we would strongly suggest that you just let the money flow back to local governments, including schools, under the current arrangement. It should not be a supplement to 98. But again, we think the proposal does have merit for the reason that you mentioned.
But maybe not to the extent of eliminating them entirely, but now sort of reforming or changing business as usual?
As Ms. O'Malley said, you have lots of options available to you.
It should be a fruitful discussion.
Okay, and Ms. Skinner had a follow-up, and then Mr. Huff.
I just wanted to ask you a question regarding your description of, say, a South Dakota model. Is it your sense that we would need to, in effect, eliminate redevelopment as it is now and then instate something like that? Or is there, when you said, you made a reference to you can't change what's existing, so are you saying that it has to be eliminated and then restructured, or why couldn't it be restructured now?
I don't see why. I don't see any limitations under Prop 22 for limiting in the terms of future redevelopment projects. So if the legislature were to modify redevelopment law and say henceforth any new project areas must meet these types of criteria, I don't see any limitations under Prop 22. So I think the legislature could do that at the same time of maintaining existing community redevelopment law. I say that with a little bit of a question, but I don't see anything under Prop 22 that would prohibit the legislature from continuing existing redevelopment law and then creating a modified one on a going forward basis.
So it's a Prop 22 issue? Or Prop 22 potential.
Prop 22 interplays with the legislature's ability to redirect some of these revenues and use them as a budget solution.
Right, okay.
Okay, we're going to have Mr. Huff, and then Ms. Harkey, and then I'm going to end the questions for now, unless somebody has a burning follow-up, which I'll entertain, of course, and then we'll take a break at that point. So, Mr. Huff, and then Mr. Harkey. Ms. Harkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Cohen, quick question for you. With this proposal, is either Medi-Cal or the trial courts being reduced?
This particular piece, no. It's using the tax dollars to replace general fund dollars. We do have cut proposals in both of those areas, but if we're talking just redevelopment, the redevelopment proposal doesn't affect their operations.
Okay, so back to my comment earlier, why would you characterize this as a reduction in your budget proposal as opposed to other solution?
It's a reduction to local economic development activities. It's not a reduction to a state program. And I think part of the thing that's underlying our realignment proposal and all of this thing is that state and local finances have become intertwined over the last number of decades, and the way that our budget displays these things also has become intertwined. And so we chose to show expenditure reductions for two reasons. One is that they are cutting, in this case, redevelopment, and then two, just from a budgeting standpoint, it is reducing state general fund spending.
Well, and you're sending it down a local level for them to spend, so it really hasn't cut the scope of anything. It's actually done an end run around Prop 98, because as you raise taxes at the local level, you don't have to do this Prop 98 funding. I mean, I understand that.
And on the realignment piece of things, the $5.9 billion, we do show that as on the revenue side of things, because there's not really a programmatic cut to these programs. It is, the benefit to the budget is on the revenue side by having an additional $5.9 billion of reduced spending, but it's because we're extending taxes.
And to the degree that, you know, you've scored $1.7 billion, you know, there's some question about how much is actually there, $800 some million, $200 million. There are all kinds of numbers. That doesn't seem to be a standard methodology. We don't know what it is. But that's a one-time solution. How do you take care of this next year? Isn't this just pushing the, we like to use that term, kicking the can down the road?
Sure. I think if it was, the entire budget was surrounded by $25, $26 billion of this, absolutely. However, you've got to take this one-time solution in the context of the overall budget problem and the overall level of solutions we've proposed. So combining our, basically we have a current year deficit that we're going to end the current year with about an $8 billion deficit, and then the upcoming year, if we did nothing, we would outspend our revenues by about $17 billion. So the way I tend to think about it is that our one-time solutions are really a credit against our one-time carry-in deficit of that $8 billion. So as long as your one-time solutions don't exceed basically that $8 billion level and your ongoing solutions are in that $17 to $20 billion range, it's perfectly appropriate to have a mix of one-time and ongoing solutions. And the way we sort of reflect that, if we've done the right math, is by looking at our multi-year projection. Mm-hmm. And under our forecast, we're balanced in both, in all 3 years, 12-13, 2013-14, and 2014-15.
If you put your thumb on the scale, you can balance about anything. You use the term intertwined. Contortionist might be a better word.
Granted.
You know, and I appreciate that. But the thing that frustrates me in this whole thing is, once again, we, the state, are looking to balance, you know, our budget on the backs of local government. They continue to push back, put things on the ballot. They've got a really good track record on that. We are very creative in finding yet other avenues to go back after that pot of money in different ways. And I just think we ought to be looking for a win-win solution out of this. There's different iterations the cities are coming up with. Let's find a way to actually work alongside of them instead of cross purposes with them. I think we'll all do better. And I have no problem with extending project areas or whatever else. I do believe that redevelopment and enterprise zones are economic tools, maybe not the only thing out there, but for some, they're very effective. Let's reform it rather than just throwing it all out. You know, those are my two thoughts on it, but, you know, it's at least part of what we're looking at. But I certainly can't support this. I think it's ripe for litigation. That creates uncertainty. We've heard in the beginning that anything with uncertainty and problem this size just makes it, you know, ready to collapse down the road, so.
Okay, Ms. Harkey, and then we're gonna break for the day.
Well, I wanted to make a few comments and ask a question, but one of the problems that I think we're going to face with the big cities proposal, and I know we have some big cities people sitting up here on the dais, is that cities can go bankrupt. And so if they run into problems and they file for bankruptcy, how does that affect the securitization of our debt? I think it's a slippery slope there to ask them to securitize debt at the state level. And that brings me to my other point, that I'm very, very concerned that we are looking to local government to backfill us, and that we are creating havoc with their own local economies, worse than what they're having right now. And I've never been a big redevelopment fan, but I have seen where it's worked beautifully. And provided in some areas where they get that low tax distribution, because, you know, as you know, after Prop 13, the monies came to the state, everything kind of got shifted around, and I'm still trying to work through that maze to find out how, but I do know Orange County and many areas are still considered rural for a tax allocation. So in some of these areas, they have been able to, in San Diego County, huge, some of these areas, they've been able to keep a little more money local to do local items. And I think it's been very, very important to them. I am very concerned about the eminent domain concerns, and I think that we can possibly work with that. My question to Ms. O'Malley is, I'm still not clear on the Prop 22. If we were to reform, put a package of reforms for redevelopment, such as more revenue sharing, eliminate the powers of eminent domain, require voter approvals for issuance of bonds, require RDAs to be subject to referendum, prohibit them from taking on new debt, et cetera, and prohibit maybe extending the project areas, and restrict maybe the amounts of tax increment. Could we, in fact, in light of Prop 22, could we apply limitations on the existing redevelopment agencies?
Absent going back to the voters, you could do a lot of those things except for the fiscal ones. You couldn't do the revenue sharing, and you couldn't do the modification of the tax increment, absent going back to the voters. Some of the other provisions that you discussed in terms of modification of eminent domain, et cetera, and a referendum, you could do that. But Prop 22 locks in place the current tax increment allocation structure and guarantees redevelopment agencies those revenues.
Right. I just would like to point out, I think it really, once again, we're saying let the voters decide, and the voters did decide on this, regardless of how we feel about this now or felt anywhere about redevelopment. And it's just plugging a one-time hole for us, but it is actually flying in the face of what the voters did decide, which is not to tell the state to balance its own budget and not take any more from the cities. So this, to me, is not a pro-redevelopment or non-redevelopment issue. It is simply a matter of what are we doing at the state level that's impacting local communities that have counted on these funds, that have budgeted for them. We took them a couple years, or last year. They've said, no, don't take them anymore. And so now we're going to just get rid of them and eliminate them. It seems a little big brotherish to me. And I'm very, very concerned that we're going to be doing damage at the local level with the local economies without a lot of forethought up here. We need to figure out how to make this work without just stealing their money again, because it's a one-time pop. Once we disband them, we can't go back to the trough again. It's gone. And we did it last year. Do it this year. Take it away. I've got a problem. And I think it's been mentioned that there's a problem with the 1.7. Is it really there? What do we do about affordable housing mandates, you know, and reducing the LAO said reductions to, or excuse me, the Department of Finance said the reductions to local economic activity. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There, I think there will be reductions right now. I think people are hanging on at the local level. So I'm very concerned with this, and I look forward to fleshing some of these things out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hargy. And we certainly are going to spend more time on this proposal. At this point, I'm going to adjourn us for today. We've made some progress and spent a lot of time. We're going to come back tomorrow at 11 a.m., and then on Friday we'll come back at 10 a.m. There was some confusion about the room. We will be in this room on both days. So that's all been cleared out, and we'll revisit all the issues. And I'm going to ask, you know, Department of Finance, LAO, to take a close look at the city's proposal in the interim, so we can talk more specifically about that, to try to get a handle on that. And with that, thank you all very much. That concludes our tomorrow at 10 a.m. and Friday at 11 a.m. Tomorrow is at 11, Friday is at 10. Tomorrow is at 11, Friday is at 10. I said it wrong the second time. Yes. Tomorrow at 11, Friday at 10. Thank you.